When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Get in zone, AutoZone. Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Brakes? We can save you 15% on that. We have OE quality Duralast brake pads and rotors in stock, ready for pickup or delivery. We also have calipers, brake fluid, tools, and anything else you'll need to do the job right. When you get Duralast pads and rotors together, you'll save 15%. It's just part of what makes us America's number one brakes destination. Get in zone, AutoZone.
But at the same time, I'm happy we got to the point where we did, because I think for next year, it's going to be that much more rewarding and that much sweeter, I believe, when we do make the playoffs.
This is Saverin on Steelers.
Hello and welcome to all from Steelers Nation. Thanks for joining us on the Saverin on Steelers podcast. I am your host, Stan Saverin. We post up new editions twice weekly. You can get it at Steelers.com. Very easy. Just go to Steelers.com. Click on it, and the podcast will be there. If you enjoy the content, all the Steelers content we have for you, please let your friends, relatives, neighbors know about it. Again, just at Steelers.com. You can also listen to me, by the way, on a daily basis on my show on ESPN Pittsburgh. We're on live from noon until 2 Eastern time each weekday, Monday through Friday. Or you can download the iHeartMedia app, and it's free, and you can get the show every day that way. Or check up on my podcast. I retweet them out every day. You can get it at ESPNradio.com or on my Twitter account at Stan Love the Show. Steelers season comes to an end. Disappointing, I'm sure. Whenever you have to rely on other teams, your chances are going to be limited. There are just so many variables. For a long time, it looked like Miami was not going to be able to beat the Jets. Not because the Jets were better, just they were equally inept. But one bad play, one bad sack, one long 50-yard field goal, and you're out. And so it raises the question, was this season a disappointment? And I say, if you're looking at it individually, just forgetting everything outside of 2022, then yes, I think you can characterize it as a disappointment. Just the 17 games this year, 9-8, even if they came from a 2-6 record to achieve that, going 7-2 down the stretch, I think you can say that it was a disappointment. Certainly for the coaches, the players, the executives, fans. But if you look at that season, this past season, as a building block, more globally, in where the franchise is at, I've always felt, you've heard me say, they are in a rebuild mode. And while it is true that once in a great while, you'll see a 4-13 team become a 12-5 team, it's more likely that a team that is under 500, it'll take some time. Maybe they'll get to 500, then maybe they get to 3 games over 500, and then they get to be a playoff team and B, a legitimate championship contender. Now, I'm not saying that that necessarily is going to happen for the Steelers. There's a lot of water to swim through to get to that point. But if you look at this year as part of the rebuilding process, then no, I don't think it's a disappointment. It'd been nice to make the playoffs from the coaches and players' perspective. But larger views of the situation indicates that even though their record was about the same as last year, 9-7-1, which got them barely into the playoffs, Record-wise, you'd think it was maybe a slight step back. Certainly, starting out 2-6 is a good way to ensure that you're not going to be better than last year. But in terms of part of the process, and I know Steeler fans don't like to hear that, because in general, there haven't been many occasions like this, but that doesn't mean there haven't been any. I take you back to the late 90s. They lose the AFC Championship game to Denver, and they're out of the playoffs in 98, 99, and 2000. Out of the playoffs 3 years in a row. And yet they came back in 2001 and got to the AFC Championship game, which they lost at home to New England. Sorry to remind you. So there have been processes like this before. And if you're looking at what happened and what transpired in 2022, then this is part of that process. When we hear the standard is the standard, what does that really mean? Well, I think Mike Tomlin uses that for two reasons. He's talking about players who are called upon to perform when a guy at their position is injured and they have to step up and play. From his perspective, talking about Coach Tomlin's perspective, you're probably a second-string player for a reason. The guy ahead of you is better. But when you are called upon to step in and play in replacing that guy, you need to play up to his level. That, I think, is part of what he means by the standard being the standard. But I think from a franchise standpoint, standard being the standard is not just eking into the playoffs at 9-7-1 or 9-8. It's entering the playoffs with a real chance to do some serious damage. Now, only one team wins the Super Bowl. But the standard around here in Steelers Nation is that you step into the playoffs and you're center of the ring. You're playing king of the mountain. You're standing there and saying, you're shouting it. Who wants to take me on? Anybody want to take me on? And obviously, they're not there yet. You have to first make the playoffs before you can do that. Are they well on their way? Debatable. One of the reasons that I say that this was a positive year, when you look at the grand scheme of things, is because they managed to answer some significant questions. They believe justifiably now they have the quarterback that they need. We finally saw flashes of what Najee Harris can be and what the Steelers saw in him when they drafted him in the first place. They know now that they have a wide receiver who can be an absolute game breaker in George Pickens. I think they've known for quite some time that Pat Freiermuth can be a devastating weapon and needs to be used more than he was. They've got a serviceable offensive line. That doesn't mean it can't get better. They need to add to that. They need to add to the defense. Certainly, they've got some proven performers there. I think that they now know that Alex Highsmith can play, whether T.J. Watt is on the other side or not, if he's healthy. So they made strides. And that's what 2022 was all about. You make the playoffs, great. Even if you make the playoffs and get blown out like last year in Kansas City, it's another step And that's why I say that this was a successful season when you moderate your expectations. If your expectations were they're going to win the division and play in the AFC Championship game, then your expectations were, frankly, ridiculous. Wasn't going to happen that way. But if you look like they got their footing in equilibrium and they'll start out 2023 in better position and in better shape than what they were in 2022, then that's why I label this a success.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Max Starks has won Super Bowls with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He really saw them up close and personal as the sideline reporter on the Steelers radio network. Max joins us now. Max, I'm going to assume that you were among those who were disappointed that the season ended where it did. How anxious were you to see them get a playoff game to see exactly where they were in terms of their progress?
You know, yeah, I was, you know what, Stan, I was on the fence just because knowing where we came from at the first half of the season to where we ended up progressing. And you remember we had that conversation, Stan, right about that midpoint about how do I assess this offensive line? And, you know, for the, and even as optimistic as I might have been in those moments, I had no idea that it would be this good at this point. So to know where they came from and where we ended, yeah, I'm a little upset that we didn't get the opportunity, but I also, you know, realized that we dug our own grave. You know, there was some winnable games in that 2-6 start that were in our control. There was at least three of them, you know, and that's the Jets game. You're up the Patriots game, you know, before you figure out how to stop the run, were probably the two most notable. And then, you know, even after that, like beating Baltimore, the first time around, that hiccup in this offensive run game, the one blemish, you know, in this last stretch of about six games. So I think that's where, you know, I'm a little okay with it just because I know that, you know, progress has to have some type of finality for a season. But at the same time, I'm happy we got to the point where we did, because I think for next year, it's going to be that much more rewarding and that much sweeter, I believe, when we do make the playoffs.
When you look at the improvements, obviously people talk about Kenny Pickett, but I want to start with the offensive line because you and I have discussed that so frequently. Clearly, the pass protection and certainly the running game, the offensive line arguably was the best, most improved unit, I should say, from start to the midway point of the season to the end of the season. As you watch them up close perform, in what particular areas did they get better? Was it a matter of each individual getting better? Or, as we talked about, for most of the season, they finally reached that level of cohesion that's necessary?
Yeah, I think you have to take the latter and apply it to the former, right? I think you have to look at it and say, you know, if they did not gel, I don't think anybody could have gotten better as a unit, or at least that we could have told, you know, by looking at it. So I think the unit got better because they gelled and they literally spent every snap together just about. It was the only unit to start every game this season together of all the offensive line units in the league. I thought that was that was one of the most impressive things, is their durability to go through the season. And yeah, there were bumps and bruises. Guys had to come out at certain points, but your starting five was your starting five this whole year. So I think that is what lent itself to guys getting better individually, because when you can trust the guy to your left or your right, that makes you that much more confident, and that allows you to play more loose and free. And you know what their shortcomings are, what their strengths are, and you guys could play off of those things together, you know. And as far as individuals, I think James Daniels probably had the biggest jump, just because there was an expectation, but we didn't really know what to expect with James Daniels, and he just got better and better as the season progressed. You know, training camp, he was falling down everywhere. And I was like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, where did we get him from? What did he do? he became a staple. And I think that's probably one individual I would point to. I feel like Chooks is always solid. Then he had another fine year. Mason Cole became just steady Eddie in the middle. You know, he's not going to sit there and gore you, but he does a good job setting up on the double team blocks. Great, you know, good intelligence, or what I call FBI, football intelligence. And then, of course, Kevin Dotson brought the physicality, right? I mean, you need that one guy who's the enforcer. He was more the physical enforcer of that offensive line than Dan Moore. You know, as much crap as people want to give Dan, I felt like Dan took a step forward as well. I mean, only giving up one sack to Myles Garrett in that last game when they kept leaving him on an island, was a hell of a job for a young guy. And so, I mean, Dan Moore definitely grew up a lot this year, and he's only going to continue to get better. And I still maintain my position that Dan is the guy that will be playing in this league, you know, for a decade if he so chooses. You know, but I think all of them had a tremendous job. Did a tremendous job this year of really coming together. And then once it did, you know, creating something beautiful. I mean, but you played the highlight, Najee getting 1,000 yards. I mean, at the beginning of the year, would we have ever thought that? Probably not. We'd be like, oh, well, chalk it up. Maybe next year. But he pushed through, and he had some phenomenal games to finish out the year to get him over that 1,000-yard mark.
All that having been said, if you're a GM personnel guy and free agency is upon you, the draft to follow, as well as the offensive line gelled, would you hesitate to add a better player or two if they were available as part of your priority agenda?
I think you're always adding offensive linemen, Stan. I think that's kind of one of the positions where you never have enough offensive linemen. You're always planning for the inevitable. I mean, think about this, Stan. I was drafted in 2004 in the third round. The following year, they drafted Trey Essex in the third round, Chris Kumuyatu in the sixth round, Marvin Phillip. And then the following year after that, we draft Willie Colon. So, you know, they even though I became a tackle here, they draft every year, and those guys end up becoming players. So you still have to plan for that depth, so you don't have the precipitous drop-off like we did the year before when DeCastro, you know, is gone and Ramon retires and then Pouncey retires, and then you don't have bodies to fill that area. And now you're reaching to get guys. You want to always have a stockpile of guys so that you can plug and play guys. And if anything does happen, you have somebody who's been in this system and can plug and play.
How much of the improvement do you attribute to the, I'll put this in quotes, the Matt Canada offense? Is this what we've been waiting to see? Or is it the same stuff just being executed better by the players we've already cited as improving individually?
I think player improvement made Matt Canada's offense look a lot better. I mean, we still had the same stuff, right? Still had the jet sweeps, still have the horizontal game. But I felt Matt Canada also kind of changed a little bit, because you think about opening up the middle of the field. He actually started throwing in the middle of the field. And you think about some of our touchdown drives, where did it come, Stan? Down the middle of the field.
Yep.
The seam routes. The George Pickens touchdown on Sunday, seam route. Raiders game to win it to George Pickens, seam route. Pat Freiermuth, big catch. Connor Hayward, big catch. Middle of the field, between the hashes, right? That's what we didn't see early in the year. And I think he kind of had to come off of that, realizing that he had guys with the skill that could do that. So, you know, was it an aberration to get through the year, or is this what he wants his offense to be? That is the real question, Stan.
Well, it's interesting because I always cite when Ben took over in 04, Bill Cowher went to Ken Whisenhunt and said, let's not put too much on his plate. You know, he's a rookie. He wasn't supposed to play this year. He came out early. He's a younger guy. That's not the case with Pickett. But I'm wondering if that was the mantra of Mike Tomlin going to Matt Canada and saying, let's keep it relatively simple, and that part of the growth will be once he absorbs the basics, they can add on. Better to add on than to take away.
No, that playbook was open, Stan, from training camp on. And it was indicative when, you know, even in the first start, I mean, you're making in a half of football, he threw the ball over 20 times. If you're trying to protect a rookie, it's usually 25 passes or less total in a game. Kenny threw 20, I think, believe it was 21 passes in that first game. So, and he's thrown over 30 times, multiple times this season. So there was no holding back or, you know, kind of giving him easily digestible nuggets. He came in day one, and it was a battle to see who's going to be the starter, and they threw everything at those guys, Mason, Mitch, and Kenny, and they wanted to see what they could do. And I think for Kenny, you know, it was a trial by fire, and he got through it. But I don't think they did the same thing that they did to Ben, because Ben, you know, we had a great running game, and a top five defense. So his job was just manage. Kenny was asked to go out there and win the games in more than one occasion, and he responded in kind as the season progressed, as he got more comfortable. But there was never the bumpers up like on a bowling alley, right? You know, when the kids come up, the bumpers come up. there was no bumpers. There was no floaties. There was no child preventative devices attached to him. He was sitting out there with no seatbelt in a 65 Corvette.
The last thing for you, Max. I started saying this about 3 weeks ago, that the Steelers are in a better position today than they were a year ago today. Some of the questions have been answered, maybe not completely, but I just sense that Steeler fans can feel positive going into next year, and more positive than they were a year ago when you didn't know who your quarterback was going to be. I wonder if you concur.
I do. I do second that motion. And we can close this out. No, just joking. but no, I think you're right. I think you're right. So I think we are in a better place because last year we were looking at the end, and this season we're looking at the next step. So it's a different mentality because at the end of last year, like you said, you didn't know what was going to be. We didn't know if we were going to bring in Mr. Trubisky and draft Kenny Pickett. It was all pie in the sky speculation at this point last year. Well, actually, technically last year at this point, we were getting ready to get beat by Kansas City. But I digress. But yeah, that was more so how we kind of thought about it. Like, man, the future's dark and dip. And then you look at it, you turn and you come back to it. And this season, we have just exactly the same amount of wins as we did a year ago. And the team grew in front of us as opposed to kind of flatlined in front of us as a year ago. And I think that's kind of what makes this so special is it wasn't a rebuild, what everybody was thinking was. It was more of a retool, and I'll steal the word from my good friend Alvaro Martin on the Spanish broadcast side, reorient this team. And that's what they did. And where I look around the league and how many teams have switched quarterbacks, or the quarterback coming in after the great quarterback was just a tremendous letdown. We didn't have that, right? We didn't have the Sam Darnold to Zach Wilson like the Jets have, or, you know, looking like the Houston Texans, who are just in complete disarray, or the Denver Broncos, who've had to spend $245 million to find out you still suck. You know, I mean, I'm looking at how that is, or precipitous fall off like the Rams from one year to the next with the same exact guy. Those are things that we didn't have to deal with, and those are things that hopefully, as it's looking, will continue to progress in a positive direction, an upswing, and it'll kind of look more like our line of succession and coaches versus a Cleveland quarterback graveyard.
Well, it'll be very intriguing this offseason, I suspect, for any number of reasons. Mac, I want to, again, wish you a happy birthday, but I want to thank you for being with me all season long. It really adds so much to the show. It's a pleasure to have you, to have known you all these years, and then get a chance to work directly. I just wanted to express my appreciation for your willingness to be with me once a week throughout the entire season.
Well, Stan, it is absolutely my pleasure. And like you said, through all these years, you were my first interview and the first person I saw when I stepped into Pittsburgh outside of Ben Roethlisberger.
Yep.
As a rookie, when we came down to FSN Pittsburgh Studios to be on the Stan Savage Show and get interviewed. So, you know, I'm just blessed and fortunate that, like you said, throughout all these years, we've had the opportunity to be and work together in various capacities, and happy to be a colleague today. So thanks for having me, and I look forward to many more years to come.
That sounds like a plan. I've got a picture from that very first show with me shaking hands with you on the set and shaking hands with Ben. That was a great night. Oh. Got pictures of that as a memento. Max, take care. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks very much.
Sounds good. Take care, Stan.
All right, Max, you too. Our thanks to Max Starks for being with us on the Savern on Steelers podcast. Thanks for being here, all of you in Steeler Nation. Again, the podcast can be gotten at Steelers.com. Very easy to get that online. You can also listen to my daily radio show. Talk a lot of Pittsburgh Steelers there, too. You can get that live, 970 AM on your AM radio, 970. We're there each day, noon until 2 Eastern time, or you can get it on the iHeartMedia app. Download it, it's free, and I'll be there for you whenever you feel like listening to it. That's it for today's Savern on Steelers podcast, and thank you very much for listening.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.